Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Man accused of twirling penis in public. A 67-year-old Odessa man was arrested Monday afternoon after three people accused him of taking out his penis and twirling it in front of them. He's also accused of threatening the husband of one of the complainants. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman in her 30s arrived home with a couple in their 60s around 12:30 p.m., and they noticed Jose Mendoza Pena standing in his front yard on Petroleum Drive, staring at them and grabbing his privates over his blue jeans. They told police he then exposed himself, twirled his penis, and stroked himself. When the younger woman's husband came home and confronted Pena from across the street, he told police Pena said he was going to kill him and he retreated inside because he was scared, according to the report. Pena was arrested on suspicion of three counts of indecent exposure and one account of assault by threat. The former charge is punishable by up to 6 months in jail and the latter by a fine of up to $500. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on bonds totaling $1,798.
Urgent Care Director, COVID still out there, by OA News. Although you don't hear as much about COVID-19 now, it's still out there. Chris Tovar, Divisional Director for Medical Center Urgent Care Clinics, said. Tovar is also over the retail clinics at Walmart. He said the urgent cares were seeing anywhere from 18 to 20 positive cases a day. In May, the total was 49. In June, it jumped to 156, and in July, it was 439. Midway through August, it was 153. He added that they were expecting more cases when school started and during the winter. Tovar said the current variant is highly contagious, but manageable. Our urgent cares are definitely seeing sicker patients as far as the levels that are coming in for practice. Comparing it from when COVID first started to now, it seems to have gotten to a point where our volume has peaked for the summertime, Tovar said. You have to remember that our urgent care clinics tend to be seasonal. When the wintertime comes around, you have a higher viral bacterial season in the wintertime. We're seeing the same type of volume that we would see in the wintertime during the summer. That's very unusual. He added that it goes to show that the summers are kind of like winters now, but the winters are staying the same. Tovar surmised that the case numbers are probably higher because people can test at home. Tovar said home tests can tell you if you have COVID, but there is still a level of false positives and negatives just because of the home testing versus the sophisticated devices that they use at the healthcare facilities. The PCR tests are going to be more accurate because they go down to DNA levels. But he said, something is better than nothing. Tovar has noticed that more seem to be taking personal responsibility when it comes to wearing masks. The pro-choice to wear a mask instead of having a mask mandate, people don't want to get sick in the hot summer days. I had it a few weeks ago and it was, whatever variant I had was pretty harsh. The signs and symptoms were definitely noticeable in the first few days, Tovar said. He peaked in the next 72 hours, and it was uncomfortable. It gets around when people hear that type of experience. They don't want it, so they tend to be pro-choice on mask, Tovar said. People should be wearing well-fitted masks and not wear it under their noses or backwards. He added that keeping social distance in areas where there are a lot of people is beneficial as well. Situational awareness, just knowing where you are and how long you've been standing there, washing hands, using proper hand sanitizer. Not every hand sanitizer is for everyone. Some people are sensitive to alcohol. That's pretty much your basic hand hygiene infection prevention, Tovar said.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. Lung screening starts at Midland Health. Consider these facts. Each year, more people die of lung cancer than colon, breast, and prostate cancers combined. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death, making up almost 25% of all cancer deaths. And Texas was ranked number 3 for the highest number of new lung and bronchus cancers diagnosed in 2021, as well as the number of people who died of lung and bronchus cancer. For 2022, the American Cancer Society's estimates there will be about 236,740 new cases of lung cancer in the United States and about 130,180 deaths. Although these numbers are alarming, Diagnostic Imaging Associates at Midland Health offers a screening exam that can help find lung cancer in its earliest stage, when the survival rate is highest. Low-dose CT lung screening is a screening exam that creates 3D images of the inside of your chest using a very small amount of radiation. LDCT lung screening provides more details than a chest X-ray and may lower the risk of death by as much as 20%. Without proactive screening and diagnosis, medical providers don't usually find lung cancers until symptoms have developed, when cancer is much harder to treat. LDCT lung screening scans are quick and painless. Once you are positioned on the CT table, the table will move slowly through the CT scanner as the images are obtained. You'll be asked to hold your breath for the short 5 to 10 seconds while the scan is completed. There's no prep. You can eat and drink as normal. LDCT lung screenings are covered by Medicare, Medicaid, Veteran Affairs, and most commercial insurance companies, just like mammograms, colonoscopies, and pap smears. However, the patient must meet the following criteria. Be a current smoker or former smoker who quit smoking in the past 15 years. Have a 20-pack per year smoking history. Are 50 to 77 years old for Medicare or Medicaid. Are 50 to 80 years old for most commercial and Veteran Affairs insurances. Not having any lung problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, repeat respiratory infections, hoarseness, or coughing up blood. And have been lung cancer free for more than 5 years. Through shared decision making, your medical provider will help determine if you are a candidate for LDCT lung screening. An order is required for the initial LDCT lung screening exam. Should you feel you would benefit from a LDCT lung screening exam, but do not meet the above criteria, or wish to learn more about the low-dose CT lung screening program, call Midland Health's nurse navigator, Chastity Shelton, at 432-221-3933. She is here to guide you through the process and be available for any questions you may have. Midland Health UTPB Upgrade Healthcare Partnership. This bond also allows Midland Health nurses to utilize UTPB's simulation lab on their campus in Odessa. Midland Health and the University of Texas Permian Basin are continuing their practice academic partnership, UTPB announced Tuesday. The partnership can move forward due to Midland Health's financial commitment, according to UTPB's press release. The partnership was first announced in August 2021. And it benefits both Midland Health nurses and UTPB nursing students. Quote, partnering with our local health care providers is essential in meeting the needs for both students and staff, end quote. Associate Dean for the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance, Dr. Minerva Gonzalez, said. UTPB staff partnered with Midland Health to provide additional resources and real-world opportunities to continue training their nursing students. Quote, the opportunity for professional nurses and our students and our top-notch faculty to work together with professional practitioners at the healthcare center, it's just a wonderful opportunity to have all of that happen at the same time, end quote, UTPB President Sandra Woodley said. This bond also allows Midland Health nurses to utilize UTPB's simulation lab on their campus in Odessa, giving Midland nurses access to new technology and medication, and in exchange, Midland nurses will work with nursing students from UTPB. Quote, to have the latest equipment here and the simulation equipment here to allow for that experience to get a deeper understanding of what our students will face when they get into the healthcare situation, end quote, Woodley said. UTBB is also able to renovate their simulation lab and rename it in honor of Midland Healthcare workers. It will now be called the, quote, Midland Health Simulation and Resource Center, end quote. The university will be working over the next 5 to 10 years to develop more programs in healthcare, according to Woodley. This includes nursing, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy. According to the university's president, there is no shortage of applicants looking to join their nursing program. We have, quote, we have record number of applicants and students in nursing and in our healthcare area. I mean, it's just amazing. The growth in that particular area is really heartwarming to me because there's such a need in our community, end quote, she said. Chief Nursing Officer and Vice President of Nursing at Midland Health, Dr. Kit Redemus, commented on the potential for great growth in the nursing industry in the Permian Basin. Quote, as we produce more nurses in the region, we will need additional clinical space to train new and experienced staff. I'm excited about the opportunity to continue growing the knowledge and expertise of our nursing workforce in the Permian Basin through this innovative partnership, end quote, he said. New study. Black tea drinkers enjoy possible health benefits. A cup of tea just got a bit more relaxing. Tea can be part of a healthy diet, and people who drink tea may even be a little more likely to live longer than those who don't, according to a large study. Tea contains helpful substances known to reduce inflammation. Past studies in China and Japan, where green tea is popular, suggested health benefits. The new study extends the good news to the UK's favorite drink, black tea. Scientists from the U.S. National Cancer Institute used a large database project that asked about the tea habits of nearly a 500,000 adults in the United Kingdom, then followed them for up to 14 years. They adjusted for risk factors such as health, socioeconomics, smoking, alcohol intake, diet, age, race, and gender. Higher tea intake, 2 or more cups daily, was linked to a modest benefit, a 9% to 13% lower risk of death from any cause versus non-tea drinkers. Tea temperature or adding milk or sugar didn't change the results. The study, published Monday in Annals of Internal Medicine, found the association held up for heart disease deaths, but there was no clear trend for cancer deaths. Researchers weren't sure why, but it's possible there weren't enough cancer deaths for any effect to show up, said Maki Inu Choi, who led the study. A study like this, based on observing people's habits and health, can't prove cause and effect. Quote, observational studies like this always raise the question, is there something else about tea drinkers that makes them healthier? End quote, said Marion Nessel, a professor of food studies at New York University. Quote, I like tea, it's great to drink, but a cautious interpretation seems like a good idea, end quote. There's not enough evidence to advise changing tea habits, said Inu Choi. Quote, if you drink one cup a day already, I think that is good, end quote, she said. Quote, and please enjoy your cup of tea, end quote. Expert provides tips for reducing dementia risk. More than 55 million people worldwide are believed to be living with dementia, according to the World Health Organization. Ronald Peterson, MD, a neurologist and director of Mayo Clinic's Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, says you can't prevent dementia, but you can reduce your risk. Dementia is not one disease, but instead a term for a group of symptoms affecting memory, thinking, and social abilities. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. There are more than a dozen risk factors that people can address, Dr. Peterson says. Quote, they include blood pressure, smoking, obesity, and diabetes, end quote, Dr. Peterson says. Sleep is an important factor. Many people have difficulty sleeping for a variety of reasons as they age, end quote. Heavy alcohol use, hearing loss, and air pollution also may be risk factors. Quote, if you attack one or more of these, you may actually be able to reduce your risk of developing cognitive impairment as you age, end quote. Dr. Peterson says it is important to stay active, physically, socially, and intellectually. Exercise, read books, go to lectures, and see family and friends, and have your hearing checked, he adds. How young athletes can reduce their risk of injury. More than half of children in the United States, ages 6 to 17, participate in sports. With participation also comes the painful reality of injuries that happen during gameplay. Dr. Wes Troyer, Mayo Clinic Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Physician, explains how to reduce children's risk of sports injuries. From strikes and strains to footwork and fractures, injuries can happen to any young athlete. Reducing the risk of injury starts with an annual physical to make sure children can participate. When it's time to play, warm up muscles by stretching and use a protective equipment when appropriate. Quote, it's important to try out your equipment before you get into game time situations to make sure it works properly, so that it's actually protecting you when you are going out there to perform the sport, end quote, says Dr. Troyer. Try to avoid overusing certain muscles over others. Repeated motions can happen around growth plates and may require young athletes to pause certain activities. Quote, they need time to rest because they put too much stress on the area, and without that, they just don't heal, end quote, says Dr. Troyer. If children are injured playing a sport, keep them out of competition until they can be evaluated. Quote, the worst thing that you can do is get up and try to play through these things and make the injury worse, end quote, says Dr. Troyer. Q&A. Is intermittent fasting a healthy way to lose weight? Dear Mayo Clinic, a friend told me that she is fasting to lose weight. I've tried many diets over the years without much success, so I'm thinking about trying fasting too. Is intermittent fasting a healthy way to lose weight? Is this just skipping a meal occasionally, or is there more to it? Answer. One diet trend that shows no signs of going away soon is intermittent fasting. That's when you voluntarily abstain from food or beverages other than water for a certain amount of time. Some fasting is for religious reasons, while others fast for weight loss. The three most popular approaches to intermittent fasting are alternate day fasting. Eat a normal, healthy diet one day and then completely fast or have one small meal the next day. Usually the small meal is fewer than 500 calories. 5-2 fasting. Eat a normal diet 5 days per week and fast for 2 days per week. Daily time-restricted fasting. Eat normally, but only within an 8-hour window each day. Recent research has found that using intermittent fasting for weight loss may have some benefits in the short term. It appears that fasting for a short time can produce ketosis, which is a process that occurs when the body doesn't have enough glucose for energy, so it breaks down stored fat instead. This causes an increase in substances called ketones. This, coupled with fewer calories consumed overall, can lead to weight loss. Research suggests that alternate day fasting is about as effective as a typical low-calorie diet for weight loss. Fasting also affects metabolic processes in the body that may work to decrease the inflammation, as well as improve blood sugar regulation and physical stress response. Some research shows this may improve conditions associated with inflammation like arthritis, asthma, and multiple sclerosis. Little long-term research has been conducted on intermittent fasting to examine how it affects people over time. As a result, long-term health benefits or risks are unknown. Intermittent fasting can have unpleasant side effects like hunger, fatigue, insomnia, irritability, decreased concentration, nausea, constipation, and headaches. Most side effects go away within a month. Sticking with an intermittent fasting routine can be easier for some people rather than trying to watch calories every day. Other people, especially those with busy or variable schedules, have more difficulty maintaining an intermittent fasting routine. Intermittent fasting is safe for many people, but it's not for everyone. Skipping meals is not recommended for people under 18, those with a history of disordered eating, or those who are pregnant or breastfeeding. Athletes may find it difficult to fuel and refuel appropriately for an active lifestyle. If you have diabetes or other medical issues, it is important that you talk with your healthcare team before starting any type of fasting regimen. Also, note that the key to achieving weight loss with intermittent fasting is not to overeat during your eating windows. As with any weight loss plan, eating fewer calories than you expend remains the basis for losing weight. Also, keep in mind that shortening your eating window may make it difficult to get the necessary vitamins and minerals your body needs. While on an intermittent fasting diet, it is important to eat nutritional meals made from quality, healthy ingredients such as fruit, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and lean protein. Intermittent fasting can be dangerous if taken too far. A technique called dry fasting restricts food and fluid intake. This can result in severe dehydration and pose serious health concerns. Malnutrition can occur if the calorie restriction is too severe, such as averaging fewer than 1,200 calories per day long term. I always recommend patients speak to their primary healthcare team prior to beginning any fasting routine to ensure there are no concerns related to other medical conditions or overall nutrition.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. NSTEMI causes necessary testing. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently was diagnosed with an NSTEMI after a rise in troponin and EKG changes following a gastrointestinal illness. Can you please discuss causes and necessary testing? Answer. NSTEMI stands for non-ST evaluation myocardial infarction. This is a type of a heart attack. Virtually all heart attacks are caused by blockage in the arteries that supply blood to the heart muscle. Inflammation of the heart muscle, dissection of a major artery, or stress-induced cardiomyopathy is the cause. The ST segment is part of the electrocardiogram that, for decades, has been a major criterion in making the diagnosis of a heart attack. However, it was discovered that heart cells, when damaged, release enzymes that can now be detected in the blood in very low amounts, and this has changed the way we diagnose acute coronary syndromes. When a person has symptoms that suggest a heart attack, the troponin test will show whether there is damage to the heart cells. We call the syndrome unstable angina. When a person comes in with symptoms suggesting a heart attack, but without troponin in the blood, while an NSTEMI has elevated the troponin. At the time of the event, cardiologists consider whether to look for and open any blocked blood vessels with an angiogram and revascularization, like a balloon in a stent. Occasionally, there are blockages of such a type that surgery is the best option. After the event, medical therapy like aspirin, beta blockers, and a statin at a minimum on top of lifestyle modifications can drastically reduce the risk of any acute coronary syndrome. Risk stratifications with a stress test or angiogram will sometimes be recommended in people who have had an NSTEMI.
This is the Dear Abby column. Three's definitely a crowd in couples' budding romance. Dear Abby, I recently met the love of my life, and I'm planning to leave my life and family in Arkansas and move to California to marry him. He's recently divorced after a 25-year marriage. My problem is that his ex wanted the divorce, but now she wants him back. She knows he has met someone, but she's constantly telling him she wants a booty call. They have two grown children, and their daughter is being married soon. His ex is now threatening that if he brings me to the wedding, she will do something crazy. I know he loves me, and he talks to her only to keep her calm. But I feel if he doesn't take me to the wedding, he will be highly disrespecting me. He still talks to her, even though she has said some nasty things about me, which is also hurtful. Am I being too sensitive? Signed, Perplexed in the South. Dear Perplexed, when this man's ex tells him she wants a booty call, how does he respond? If he's still sexually involved with her, your odds of success with him are zero. He may talk to her, in spite of her saying nasty things about you, because they have children and possibly grandchildren in common. That he would repeat her less than complimentary comments to you does not say much for his judgment. Under these circumstances, I don't think you should insist upon attending that wedding. Instead, think carefully about the wisdom of leaving your life and family and relocating, unless you have a job waiting and a guaranteed timeline regarding marriage. Dear Abby, my 50-year-old nephew has always used women and was finally caught embezzling $60,000 from one of them. He was arrested and ordered to pay restitution or he would stay in prison for years. After only 2 weeks of incarceration, he cried and pleaded with our family and promised he would pay anyone back the money if they would pay his restitution. My sister was a wreck and came to me. I came up with the money and got a promissory note from my nephew. Long story short, he stuck my sister with every payment. When my sister went bankrupt because of it, I asked if he could at least pay $25 toward what he owed. But he did nothing. My sister finally repaid everything my nephew owed me, and now she expects all of us to be one big happy family. She has invited me and my husband to come for the holidays, which will include my nephew. I told her I will never again be in the same room with that liar and cheat, so now she's upset with me. Am I making the right choice? He used all of us to get out of jail, never paid anyone back, and is still using women. For that, I'm supposed to embrace him with open arms? I think it would be condoning his actions. Signed, Upset Aunt. Dear Aunt, I agree with you about that. Your instinctive reaction to keep your sociopathic nephew at arm's length, or even further, is healthy. It's safer to keep people with no ethics at a distance. After what happened, as much as your sister might wish it, you are no longer one big happy family. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.